turning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 7. Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, and verse 8 says, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Our message today is entitled, The Danger in Becoming Gospel Hardened. The Danger in Becoming Gospel Hardened. Gospel hardened individuals are not those who are unevangelized, but those who think they are Christians. They know the facts of the gospel. The book of Hebrews is written for this intent. It is not written to strangers, to the covenant, but to covenant people. The word brethren is used many times. This means that we can be regularly in orbit with gospel company and become gospel hardened. Another thing we must clarify is the definition of the word gospel. The word gospel does not refer to an exclusive New Testament message. You have erred if you believe that. We are told in Galatians 3 verse 8 that the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Abraham was pre-evangelized in Ur of the Chaldees. He heard the gospel. He was called to go to a land that he couldn't see, just like you and me. We are called to go to a land that we can't see. Abraham believed God. It is true that the New Testament gives clearer view of the gospel than the Old Testament. The Jews did not know anything about the risen Savior. They did not know anything about the indwelling Holy Spirit, but they received the gospel. Hebrews 4:2 assures us of this, saying, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They heard the gospel, but they failed to believe the gospel. It's like many of you here today. And that's why I bring this message before you. Today, many are close to the church. They're very close to the things of the kingdom. Where there's some gospel teaching, I may add, but they have become in danger of becoming gospel hardened. People feel as long as they give intellectual credence to Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, that they have believed the gospel. As a matter of fact, they summarized the gospel saying that they believe this. But this is only part of the gospel, brethren. The gospel is more than historical facts. It is more than the death and burial of resurrection. Everybody believes that. When the Bible calls us to repentance, this is the gospel. When scripture calls us to separation from worldliness, this is the gospel. When the scripture insists of believers' baptism, of sanctification, of believers' fellowship, not neglecting the saints, this is the gospel. Where do we get this from? The gospel is a comprehensive theme that is recorded in the scriptures. The scriptures is the gospel. The Jews didn't have no New Testament. And it is these things I just mentioned that people have become gospel hardened to. author of the Hebrews is addressing covenant brethren and begins with a conclusive sentence in verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren. The words holy brethren is used in a general way. To be holy is to be separated for God's service. That's what to be holy means. We are a separated people unto the service of God. The Levites were a separated people. They were not all saved. Look what Aaron's two sons did. God wiped them out. Instantly, we are a holy people, brethren, separated for God's service. We are all brethren called out of the world into the church. We address each other as brethren. Cain and Abel were brethren. Jacob and Esau were brethren. The 12 sons of Jacob were brethren. But what they did to him? Joseph. The Bible uses the word brethren in a generic way. And people get carried away and say, you see, God is talking to the believers. He's talking to a general body. Don't run with this word, brethren. Understand it in the light of the context it is written. But the Lord Jesus defines to us who are his brethren in Luke 8:21, saying, he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brother are these which hear the word of God and do it. The Lord himself spoke. The word brethren is often used in a general sense, but it can be used in a definitive sense, as the Lord Jesus showed who are his brethren. Conclusion in verse 1 is based on what was said before in Hebrews chapter 1. You have to go back to Hebrews 1:1-2, where God tells us that God spoke in the past, but is speaking to us today through his Son. Now, God's Son is not here, but we have the Bible. And that's why we have to be careful in our explanation of the Bible to people who don't know the Bible. Every meeny, meeny, mighty, more person shouldn't attempt to preach the Bible. As the blind leads the blind. Verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. In other words, the Son who speaks to us is the Creator. He's the God-man. The writer to the Hebrews continues in chapter 2, verse 1, by telling us that we must take the gospel message seriously. Therefore, here's another therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. I like how the New King James put it. The old King James, the King James Bible says, lest we let them slip. It is not the gospel that drifts away. It is hearers of the gospel that drift away, as we have been seeing in our church. And this is why in Hebrews 3, the writer uses another conclusive word, or use the word another time, wherefore, three times in the chapter is this warning given. Notice verse 1, he says, of God, he speaks of God the Son. Wherefore, holy brethren, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. I like the word confession better. It is the same thing, actually. Christ Jesus. He's called an apostle because Jesus was sent to man with the gospel message. An apostle is someone who is sent. And Jesus was an apostle in that sense. The second usage of this word, wherefore, is in reference to God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. our key text. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, the Holy Spirit speaks to us when the scriptures are read or proclaimed. The third usage of this word, wherefore, is in reference to God the Father. If you drop down to verse 10, you will see, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. This is meant to show the triune God is intimately involved in gospel proclamation. Jesus is the Son who died for sinners. God the Holy Spirit calls men through the preaching of the gospel. God the Father will judge men on the last day. Hebrews is very deliberate in using all three persons in the Godhead. We are living in an era today when many evangelicals are becoming more and more gospel hardened. When I speak of evangelicals, you know what I'm speaking about, don't you? People in the church that are accustomed to the gospel. People who have joined the church and think they're on the way to heaven. Never ever check what is being said, but they're on their way to heaven. And this is the audience I'm addressing this hour, whether it be online or whether it be in the local church. We are living in a day when such people are becoming more gospel hardened. If you are honest, and if you are an honest believer, you will admit that there is a decline and a disinterest in many church people. If you are honest, and if you are really honest, you would also be concerned. So you should know what I'm talking about. One would think that in this technology today, that men would be more enlightened, that we would be more gospel friendly. The churches would be thriving. Such is not the case. In fact, it is the opposite. Many people who are regularly exposed to sound gospel teaching, it's harder to be won for Christ. And some of you are here. Harder to be won for Christ. Regular exposed to the gospel. And this is because of gospel hardness. This is how national Israel became God's covenant people. This is why the exhortation is given to us. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. One of the days we are called to consider him is the Lord's day. And it is the day a lot of people frustrate him. The Bible says he was faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses was a servant in God's house and a faithful one. Jesus is the Son who owns the house. He deserves preeminence. He deserves first place. The Son of God. God is speaking today through his Son. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. Today, the very church can become accommodative for men, women, boys, and girls who are gospel hardened. Preachers should be faithful today, more so than any other day, because of the climate in the church. And I'm speaking to my church. It is not hard for one to become gospel hardened. All it takes is for us to hear and don't hear. To hear but never listens. To see but never comprehend. The word goes in one ear and it comes out the other. All of a sudden, we will say, so what else is new? I know what he's preaching from. Remember the word of the Lord to the prophet Isaiah. He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted and be healed. God said this to Judah, his people. In Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, Old Testament Israel became fat with the word of God, but they were still empty spiritually. Their ears had become heavy, tired of hearing. When is he going to finish? Their hearts became cold to the word of God. It is not hard to become gospel hardened. There are religious seeds that breed gospel hardness. I'll go through them very quickly. Yeah, familiarity. Familiarity is acquaintance with something. The scripture says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Every time we meet, we are meeting to consider this Savior. Partakers are those who are familiar with the things of God. Partakers of the heavenly calling. The heavenly calling is the gospel. Those familiar with the hymns, the preaching, the company of the saints. All these are used by God to call us to salvation. Old Testament Israel was familiar with such. Hebrews 3, 8 and 9 says, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Remember, God calls 40 years one day. It shows the patience of God. 40 days God considered as a day of temptation and provocation. For 40 years, Israel was provoking God. Hearing the man Moses, seeing the works of God, the water from the rock, the manna for 40 years. Think of that. 40 years of being familiar with the same diet, seeing the same faces, hearing the same servant, Moses, but never pay any attention to what the man was saying. Is this not some of you? They observed the mighty hand of God in his works. Hear what God said in Deuteronomy 29, verses 3 through 6, through Moses. He says, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and ears to see, and eyes to see, sorry, and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Moses was a faithful man. Coming to the end of his tenure, he said, up to this day, the Lord haven't given you eyes to see and ears to hear. And some of you men are very shy to call out what you're seeing in a loving way. The man Moses was faithful. He didn't butter up his people. He didn't have time to do that. He says, up to this day, God haven't given you eyes to see and ears to hear. People will say, but Moses is a judge. He's not a judge. He observed his people under the light of Scripture. And I must observe our people under the light of Scripture and conclude that there is a danger in becoming gospel hardened. I spoke last Sunday night about people come here unprepared and breaking off their necks. Be careful. That is the sign of someone that is gospel hardened. You're not making sport here. You can come to make sport. Someone said familiarity breeds contempt. Familiar with the scriptures, with the songs of Zion, familiar with the stated meetings. All these external graces are seeds that can bring an unconverted soul to a gospel-hardened state. Be careful. One should not only be familiar with these things, they should love these things. It is right to partake in believers' ordinances, Bible memory. But we should love these things. We should love the Word. We should love the things of the Spirit. And if we're honest, if you're a spiritual man, a leader, you can make assessments and stop preaching foolishness. We should love these things. We must love His abode. We must love His people. Familiarity or acquaintance is one of the ploys of Satan that breeds gospel-hardened individuals. And many have become this way. Another seed that breeds gospel hardness is formality. Formality is nothing more than a religious exercise. Hebrews 3:10 says, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." Israel did not see through the religious rituals. They were doing them, but they didn't see through them. They didn't see through the showbread, the table, the Passover. They did not see the spiritual value of these things and what they were pointing to. Notice the Holy Spirit says, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Not sometimes, not occasionally did they err, but always. You could put it a different way, in all ways, they didn't know His ways. Brethren, these are warnings to you and to me. Think of the many who are formal, going to the right place. Some of you sit in the same seat every Sunday. No variety. Formal. Seated in the right place. Partake in the right ceremonies, but do not value the salvation that is being offered. Have no value for it. Good example of religious formality is those in the days of the prophet Ezekiel who said, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." What about these words that be in the Bible? They're in the Bible to preach. What about these things? Can we find these things and make applications from them? The Lord said in the Gospel of Matthew, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not according to their works, for they say, and do not do." And some of you better be careful giving people instructions in here. Don't lift a finger to do jack, but telling people to be faithful. Not exercise to do anything. Want to do things where you're seen, but not the unseen. Gospel hardened. The religious scribes and Pharisees majored on formality, but they had become gospel hardened. And today history is being repeated. Beware of the danger of gospel hardness. Our heart should be tender towards the gospel that is preached. Another seed that the devil used in making people gospel hardened, the third one, is deception. This is the worst of all. Look with me at verse 13 of Hebrews 3. But exhort one another daily, for it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is very deceitful, brethren. Sin deceives me and will deceive me. It looks good. It creeps into our hearts drip by drip. You put a bucket of water under a tap that is dripping, and you'll be surprised when you look back at it. The bucket is filled with drips. That's sin. Our lives, drip by drip, can become like this, filled with sin. And the only way it can change is by emptying the bucket. We'll let God fill it. Drip by drip, I have seen here in our church the indifference of our people. Drip by drip. Pay attention. Deception is a terrible thing. A little more in our hoppers. Another trip on a pleasure trip to the neglect of the spiritual duty, maximizing our stay, traveling on the Lord's Day to get back from under. Forget all about the Lord's Day, but making preparations for Monday. Gospel-hardened people. We cannot say anymore. I've probably preached every message already. There's nothing more I can say to gospel-hardened people. Taking responsibilities that take us away from the house of God. Deliberately taking them, taking jobs when we know that we can't fulfill our spiritual duties. There's gospel-hardened people that are bred right here at City View. Some of you are going to become like that. Esau sold his birthright for that which was immediate. He was deceived by his fleshly lusts. When he sought God, he was rejected. His father said, I already give the birthright to your brother. Too late, cocky, too late. He toyed with what he had. Think of Judas. The same 30 pieces of silver he agreed upon for betraying his Lord was thrown down on the temple floor in disgust. Was used to purchase a graveyard for dead people. That was his lot. The dead. One of the major deceptions that many have found comfort in today is the deceitful teaching of being called a carnal Christian. The two doesn't go together. Churches teach this to their people. The two never go together in the Bible. Carnal Christian. Carnal Christianity is a freeway to death and hell. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is at enmity with God. It's not subject to the law of God, the gospel, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What are you doing, preacher? Telling people this carnal Christian mentality. These are some seeds that can breed gospel-hardened individuals today. Formality of the things of the Spirit. Familiarity in church ordinances, deception, thinking that you are what you are not. And people will take off your head if you tell them, sister, brother, I don't think you're a believer. They'll take off your head. All you're doing is pointing them to the scriptures. I'm not telling you to go and tell anybody anything, but I'm just looking out for the place where God has placed me and what I have been seeing. Deception, thinking that outward graces can gain a sponge to heaven, comforting themselves with a memory that they have of a decision that they made. They comfort themselves in a decision they made in the past. Yet we are no different to Joe and Mary, who are living for the world and the things of the world. There's a danger in becoming gospel hardened. God gives us these things. Great preacher C.H. Spurgeon said, and they always get a quote from Spurgeon, "The same sun which melts wax hardens clay. And the same gospel which melt some persons to repentance harden others in their sins." The twofold purpose of the gospel melts the sinner's heart, or melts or harden the unconverted. God will win. And when you hear the gospel, you are in a win-win situation. Preachers must preach the gospel, brethren, and stop entertaining goats. There's a danger. Our hearts should be ever receptive to the word. When we leave, God make me receptive to the word. God keep my eyes open, my physical eyes, that I may follow. God be with my body. Sometimes I'm standing up here like this morning, and there's no telling if I would fall down. Some of us, shame, shame, shame. I hope you're listening. Pander to our bodies. Pander to our pains and our sickness. Pander to the flesh, to the neglect of the Holy Spirit. Our hearts should be receptive. Our desires should be as the Apostle Paul: "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Instead of, "I will not have this man rule over me." But what about our text? I didn't even get there yet. Hebrews 3:7. I'll explain it in the next few minutes by sharing these things with you. One, the gospel call is an immediate call. Hebrews 3:7, part A. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice." I'm bringing it up. It's an immediate call. Today is an immediate call. The quote is from Psalm 95, 7 and 8. "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Now, if you, brethren, understand this, the context of this psalm is known as a psalm of Moses. You might see it on top of your margin. And it was meant to call the people to worship. People of God were called to worship. It is in this setting of worship where the Lord speaks to his people. But they were in danger if they had not yet already become gospel hardened, as he speaks. Moses called them, "Come and worship and bow down before God our Maker, for he is our God. He has made us." And then we hear the words, "Today." And it probably was on the Sabbath. "Today, this day, if you hear his voice." For 40 years, they didn't hear his voice. Lord speaks to his people in the setting of worship. But there's a danger in becoming gospel hardened. And if the Lord is speaking to us during worship, why in the world are we breaking off our necks sleeping? Why do we do that? Don't we believe that he is among us? The New Testament writer attributes the one who is speaking to us as the Holy Ghost, saying in parentheses, Hebrews, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith," and by the way, the word "saith" is in the present tense. There's no guarantee that one will be in their right mind tomorrow. Well, that's why the gospel call is an immediate call. Remember Isaiah? "Come now. Let's reason together," says the Lord. Even the epistle of James tells us that we should not boast against tomorrow, for we do not know what the day may bring forth. You've heard me say many times that some people, some of you, this may be your last sermon. And you don't see them. You don't know if you'll be taken away. Well, you can just look at some of our dear sisters. We don't think like this. It's an immediate call. Tomorrow our hearts may be colder than today. And that's why our hearts should always be receptive. Paul said, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The gospel call is an immediate call. The gospel that I'm proclaiming today is an immediate call to you. And yet, man in his stubbornness would not budge. It's the nature of man's heart. An Ethiopian cannot change his skin, nor a leper change his spots. So as you, not accustomed to doing evil, can't do good. God must help us. We must pray to this end, brethren. Secondly, in our context, the gospel message is to be internalized. The gospel message that you and I hear is to be internalized. Look at the Hebrews 3:7 text, part number B. It says, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Look back at those people. Read the book of Numbers. Read the book of Exodus. Look back at what they did. God was doing strange things that day that he's not doing today. The family of Korah, they decided they're going to rebel. You see what happened? They provoked God. We all heard of these things. The heart is the seat of man's disposition, his emotions, his will. The heart is the human engine that drives us to do good or to do evil. That's the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Holy Ghost says to us, brethren, "Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation." The gospel message is to be internalized. We all heard of Pharaoh. And we saw what happened. The 10 plagues brought upon him and his people, he remained the same. And each of those plagues is a message of salvation and judgment. Each one, if you go through them. The word of God gave a commentary on Pharaoh. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore have ye mercy on whom you will have mercy, and whom you will, he hardeneth. You know, sometimes people may think that they are hardening their hearts. I ain't budging. I ain't listening to that. You may think so, not knowing that it is God who is aiding you in your unbelief to judge you. It's a dangerous place to be, gospel hardened. Taking away his hand from us. Oh, I wouldn't want God to take away his hand from me, especially when I'm sinning or in the midst of sin. I wouldn't want God to do that. I want him to convict me of my sin. I want him to bring a servant to preach to me that I can hear of my sin. And yet some of you are stiff and gospel hardened. It's a dangerous place to be. Don't expect to get entertainment when you come into the sanctuary. Some may not come back. Well, that's good. The gospel message is to be internalized, personalized, applied. Problem is that we, our predecessors that were before me, just do a terrible injustice to this church. Terrible injustice. The Lord said we must agree with our adversary quickly while we are in the way with him. Our adversary is the word of God, the law. You must believe it. You must agree. You must internalize it. We must love the Lord. We must serve him. We must honor him. What I'm saying is what every true child of God wants to do. Is what the text is saying to us. The gospel call is an immediate call. Today, if you hear his voice, the gospel call ought to be internalized. Harden not your heart. Paul said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Paul was saying that the Jews never internalized the gospel. He said that the word is near us. It's close to us. It's sad for a preacher who's preaching to people for 30 years and to see their gospel hardened state. It is sad. It hurts. No preacher wants to say this. I wouldn't say what Moses, the man of God, said. These 4 years I've been with you, and yet God didn't give you eyes to see and ears to hear. And this was God's covenant people. And when you look at them, out of that crowd that Moses numbered and Eliezer numbered in Numbers 1 and 2, when you come to the end of the chapter, only two of them were left. Joshua and Caleb. That's a whole congregation. Can you imagine if that happened back then? Oh no, where preachers say, I know all of you in here are believers. We are one big happy family. You need to shut up and sit down. I don't want to offend his people. Shut up. That's not what God called you to say. So point number three. I've given you 2 points already. The word of God, the gospel call, is immediate. It's a call that ought to be internalized. Thirdly, gospel judgment is inevitable. That's the last point, the last head. Gospel judgment is inevitable. What we mean is that it will, judgment will certainly come to pass. And sometimes we see judgment begins at the house of God. We see it here. We lost our families. They're married, heathen people. They don't come to church. We've lost them because of this same topic, gospel hardness of Neil. Mom and dad have become gospel hardened, yet they claim they are Christians. God's judgment begins in the church and in the home. Because the church is a representation of the home. That's all it is. Gospel judgments are inevitable. It will come to pass. And this is why we say it is dangerous to be gospel hardened. Look at verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 3. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Parentheses, finish. God meant what he said. When Moses made the final census before crossing the Jordan, not one of the men who provoked God in the desert were among the number. They were all missing in action. When God numbers his people on judgment day, many will be missing in action. Numbers 26:65, and here the quote. But among these, there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. This is a sad commentary of a bunch of people who saw water from the rock, who came through the Red Sea, who saw these things. Not one of them entered the promised land. When God makes an oath, no one can reverse that oath. You and I shouldn't swear. You and I shouldn't make an oath, because we can never make anything good on our oath. Some of us can't even keep a promise. But when God makes an oath, and this is twice the Bible spoke of God making an oath. God swore that he would bring salvation. For I by myself have sworn that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you, and in thy seed all nations, that's Christ, shall be blessed. You can't change that. But God also swore, they shall not enter into my rest. You shouldn't swear by your head, because you cannot make a hair black or white. But when God swears, that wrath will come. It will come. You see what's going on over there in the Middle East? You see all of that stuff lining up this world? As leaders jockey for territory, you see what's going on. Nobody's focusing on God. People are focusing on more guns. There's a danger, dear brethren, in becoming gospel hardened. And I've named some today. We need to look at them carefully. There will be no eternal rest for people who have become gospel hardened. No rest. Isaiah 45 says, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. Not unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Isaiah 45, 22 and 23. Gospel hardness will result in the inevitable children. You may live all your life, 60, 70, you know, superstar. We heard this week, I believe all of us heard of him, prominent figure in sports, national figure. I remember the days when I was young, running with the football, you know, running through airports, doing advertisements for Hertz. Remember him. Somehow, all of that, his life became a terrible mess. Terrible mess for some of us to look back and see that all we gain in this life would be lost because of gospel hardness. Only those things done for Christ will last. A lot of people are remembering the bad about this man. You know what I'm talking about. And some of our parents here are training our children for the world and making silly excuses. Where's your daughter? Where's your son? Silly excuse. You know why? Gospel hardness. As young as they are hardened. And the parents is not much different. And you notice I'm quit asking. I have quit. Done. Ephraim has turned to idols. Leave him alone. So if you see I am not asking you anything, it's not that I don't care. It's because of what God said. Ephraim has turned, joined to idols. Back off. You don't want to fight? Because if you begin to say things to people, you have a fight on your hands. No, we are called for peace. Gospel hardness will result in the inevitable. The whole Bible, the whole Word of God is the gospel. Not just elements of the Bible. When God called you to be faithful in worship, that is the gospel. When he called you to present your body as a living sacrifice, that is the gospel. When he called you to worship, to fellowship, to the communion, that is the gospel. You understand? It is not limited to a few elements. Not one on this side of eternity is perfect. And I say this because our hearts should be tender towards God's word, always. We should be thorough in repentance. We're not perfect, but are you thorough in repentance? Do you have skeletons in the closet? Some of you can't even stand up in prayer because you got too many skeletons in your closet. Dirty laundry pushed under the rug. You should be thorough in repentance. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But are you thorough in repentance? Or do you have sacred cows? A joint stick under some cloth that you still puff on? An occasional Seagram 7, a shot before you go to sleep? Are you thorough? A woman on the side if you are a man? Cheating on your wife? Reading dirty books? Are you thorough? Gospel hardness is a terrible thing. The writer says, I think it was David after he sang. He says, God requires truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. As best as we can, we should be thorough in repentance. As best as we know. Second, we should not trifle with the means of grace. The Lord has given us means. He has given us the church. You know what the means of grace are very well. You have heard me speak of them all the time, and yet you have become gospel hardened to those means that God has provided. Not asking anything.
I'm going along with what God says. It's very easy to trifle with grace, trifling with the Lord's time, trifling with His word, procrastinating with duty, what you are called to do, begging, crawling on your knees, begging men to help in the ministry. Gospel hardened. Don't think it is just believing. I believe on Jesus. I'm saved. Never check the other parts of the Bible that we are hardened to. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Procrastinating. Never come, never show up, never available. Even take a day off. I said, this is for God. I'm going to the church. Like what I used to do. Taking a day off from work. Giving God the whole day. Make no sense to some of you. Because you're gospel hardened. So, we should be thorough in repentance. We should not trifle with grace. Lastly, finally, we should never be tolerant with our indwelling sin. Give me a break, you know. I deserve this time, you know. Come on. Trifling with sin. And some of you, I really don't know. Two once a week, I don't know what you're doing. Trifling in sin. Indwelling sin that is expressed on the outside. God can give strength to the weak to put those things to death. It's very easy to become gospel hardened, drip by drip by drip. The bucket gets full. It is time to empty it. Let God fill it. If this subject was not urgent and important, I would not have preached it. Sometimes God stops you right in your tracks. If this wasn't urgent, I would not have preached it from this pulpit. And if it wasn't for you, I would not have preached it. John Owen, Paul, the book of Hebrews, the book of warnings. Some others call it a book of comparisons between the past and the present. You can call it what you may. I know it's the word of God. And I know it is teaching of the danger of becoming gospel hardened. People who are familiar with the gospel. People who are formal in the gospel. People who are deceived in their hearts. Be careful that you are not like this. We saw some seeds that breed gospel hardened hearers. We saw the exhortation. The gospel call is immediate. The gospel message is to be internalized. Gospel judgment is inevitable. That's the exegesis. May the Lord write these words on each heart today. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we thank you. It is as though you have taken a load off of my chest, Lord. May the word of God rest in the hearts of your people. May the people of God examine themselves under the light of the word of God. And may we seek to surrender to the Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.